Act 2, West Ham Shelter. The yard of the West Ham Shelter of the Salvation Army is a cold place on a January morning. The building itself, an old warehouse, is newly whitewashed. Its gabled end projects into the yard in the middle, with a door on the ground floor, and another in the loft above it, without any balcony or ladder, but with a pulley rigged over it for hoisting sacks. Those who come from the central gable end into the yard have the gateway leading to the street on their left, with a stone horse trough just beyond it, and, on the right, a slanted roof shielding a table from the weather. There are benches at the table, and on them are seated a man and a woman, both much down on their luck, finishing a meal of bread, one thick slice each with margarine and golden syrup and diluted milk. The man, a workman out of employment, is young, agile, a talker, a poser, sharp enough to be capable of anything in reason except honesty or altruistic considerations of any kind. The woman is a commonplace old bundle of poverty and hard-worn humanity. She looks 60 and probably is 45. If they were rich people, gloved and muffed and well wrapped up in furs and overcoats, they would be numbed and miserable, for it is a grindingly cold, raw January day, and a glance at the background of grimy warehouses and leaden sky visible over the whitewashed walls of the yard would drive any idle rich person straight to the Mediterranean. But these two, being no more troubled with visions of the Mediterranean than of the moon, and being compelled to keep more of their clothes in the pawn shop and less on their persons in winter than in summer, are not depressed by the cold. Rather are they stung into vivacity, to which their meal has just now given an almost jolly turn. The man takes a pull at his mug and then gets up and moves about the yard with his hands deep in his pockets, occasionally breaking into a step dance.
Feel better after your meal, sir?
No. Call that a meal? Good enough for you, props, but what is it to me, an intelligent working man?
Working man? What are you?
Painter.
Yeah, I dare say.
Yeah, you dare say. I know. Every loafer that can't do nothing calls himself a painter. But I'm a real painter. Grainer, finisher, 38 bob a week when I can get it.
Then why don't you go and get it?
I'll tell you why. First, I'm intelligent. It's rotten cold here.
He dances a step or two.
Yes, intelligent, beyond the station of life into which it has pleased the capitalists to call me. And they don't like a man that sees through them. Second, an intelligent being needs a due share of happiness, so I drink something cruel when I get the chance. Third, I stand by my class and do as little as I can so as to leave half the job for me fellow workers. Fourth, I'm fly enough to know what's inside the law and what's outside it, and inside it I do as the capitalists do. Pinch what I can lay me hands on. In a proper state of society, I am sober, industrious, and honest. In Rome, so to speak, I do as the Romans do. What's the consequence when trade is bad, and it's rotten bad just now, and the employers has to sack off their men? They generally start on me.
What's your name?
Price. Brontair O'Brien Price. Usually called Snobby Price, for short.
Snobby's a carpenter, ain't it? You said you was a painter.
Not that kind of snob, but the genteel sort. I'm too uppish, owing to my intelligence, and my father being a chartist and a reading, thinking man, a stationer too. I'm none of your common hewers of wood and drawers of water, and don't you forget it.
He returns to his seat at the table and takes up his mug.
What's your name?
Rummy Mitchin, sir.
Price quaffs the remains of his milk to her.
Your health, Miss Mitchins.
Mrs. Mitchins.
What? Oh, Rummy, Rummy. Respectable married woman, Rummy. Getting rescued by the Salvation Army by pretending to be a badin. Same old game.
What am I to do? I can't starve. I'm Salvation lasses as dear good girls, but the better you are, the worse they like to think you were before they rescued you. Why shouldn't they have a bit of credit, poor loves? They're worn to rags by their work. And where would they get the money to rescue us if we were to let on we're no worse than other people? You know what ladies and gentlemen are.
Thieving swine. Wish I had their job, Rummy, all the same. What does Rummy stand for? Pet name, props?
Short for Romola.
For what?
Romola. It was out of a new book. Somebody me mother wanted me to grow up like.
We're companions in misfortune, Rummy. Both of us got names that nobody can't pronounce. Consequently, I'm Snobby and you're Rummy because Bill and Sally wasn't good enough for our parents. Such is life.
Who saved you, Mr. Price? Was it Major Barbara?
No, I come here on my own. I'm going to be Bronte O'Brien Price, the converted painter. I know what they're like. I'll tell them how I blasphemed and gambled and warped my poor old mother.
Used you to beat your mother?
Unlikely. She used to beat me. No matter. You come and listen to the converted painter and you'll hear how she was a pious woman that taught me prayers at her knee and how I used to come home drunk and drag her out of bed, be a snow-white airs, and lamb into her with the poker.
That's what's so unfair to us women. Your confessions is just as big lies as ours. You don't tell what you've really done no more than us. But you men can tell your lies right out at the meetings, and be made much of for it. Well, the sort of confessions we has to make has to be whispered to one lady at a time. It ain't right, spite of all their piety.
Right? Do you suppose the army'd be allowed if it went and did right? Not much. Combs our hair and makes us good little blokes to be robbed and put upon. But I'll play the game as good as any of them. I'll see somebody struck by lightning, or hear a voice saying, Snobby Price, where will you spend eternity? Well, I'll have a time of it, I tell you.
You won't be let drink, though.
I'll take it out in gospeling, then. I don't want to drink if I can get fun enough any other way.